In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for Exaudi, which is both the Sunday after the Ascension and the seventh Sunday of Easter. The Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters, beginning at chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Thus far, the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's better. Our Lord speaks the words, I shall send to you the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. The Spirit's job is to speak of Christ. Beware of any spirit that is more interested in speaking about the Spirit than about Christ. Such a spirit is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would deliver Christ to you. Christ speaks comforting words to his disciples as he prepares them for his impending departure. They come up this Sunday after the church throughout the world has actually celebrated his departure, ascension into heaven. And these are words that should bring comfort to us all. He speaks of the Helper to come. The Helper is going to help, and we're going to need it. While it is nothing but coincidence that this text would come up on a secular holiday called Mother's Day, how felicitous that it would occur on such a day. If anyone in this world needs help, it's mothers. There was an old cliche that people used to say, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. What an awesome responsibility. God grant you to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, that your children may be raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord and at the last have eternal life. The chosen apostles needed this help of the Holy Spirit. Do you recall the very last words that they ever spoke to Jesus on a face-by-face basis? Before he ascended into heaven? Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? For those of you who were here last Thursday night, I mocked it. The last chance that they have to ask the Lord something. And I said, they asked the Lord a stupid question. And yet, when Jesus had called them to come follow him, that's probably what they thought they were signing up for. The triumphal entry on Palm Sunday looked good. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There should be dead Roman soldiers in the street before the end of the week. Well, that's not who ended up dead. The crucifixion looked bleak, but then they got that unexpected game changer. Jesus rose from the dead, and so it looked like it was all game back on. Ready for us to rid Jerusalem of the Romans now, Lord? Well, no. That's not the plan. And Jesus basically tells them not to try doing what they are going to do on their own. They're going to need help. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high, Jesus says, as we read at the end of the Gospel according to St. Luke. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, we read in Acts 1. They were going to be witnesses, not revolutionaries. And the Holy Spirit still had much to teach them about that too. One step at a time. Yeah, we heard all nations, but who is the gospel for really? Even non-Palestinian Jews? Even? Samaritans? Even an Ethiopian eunuch? Even a Roman centurion? And just exactly how Jewish do these Gentile converts to Christianity need to become anyway? You know, if you answer that question wrong, you just might get kicked out of the synagogue. Oh, that's right. Jesus warned that that would happen. Nevertheless, the Spirit would come, and these apostles, so fraught with misconceptions, would be used nevertheless by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to Jesus. And they themselves would also grow in their knowledge and understanding of the gospel along the way. What comfort for all of us to know. You don't have to have it all mastered before you're allowed to open your mouth and say anything. Confess Christ and grow in your faith along the way too. The Helper helps. What a blessed thing that is. The last thing I do before I leave my office, come over here, is pray Luther's sacristy prayer. Do thou be with me. For if I am left to myself, I will surely bring it all to destruction. It is right that all Lutheran Orthodox pastors should pray this way. The whole church should pray similarly. When we locate our faith in anything other than the Christ who, though ascended, is nevertheless, as our great hymn, Mighty Fortress, says it, the Christ who is by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit, the gifts of word and sacrament. When we locate our faith anywhere else, we're doomed. We dare not trust in our intellects or in our feelings or in our strategies or programs or anything else arising from ourselves. We can't do this. Not on our own. We need the Helper's help that we may speak rightly about Jesus and confess Him with holiness of life and remain humble in the process. Like the apostles of old, most of us have probably been surprised along the way when the glory we imagined our faith would cause us to see in our lives didn't quite pan out that way. When we discovered that the Lord gave us a cross to carry instead. Does it leave you wondering? Just what is the plan, anyhow? Are we surprised when we discover that our Lord's words, "Whoever would follow me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," just might be something a little bit more than a pious figure of speech? Life throws some curves at us. We discover, sometimes rather painfully, that we misunderstood the Lord's plan. Difficulties arise that leave us with more questions than answers. We face all of that. The cross is very much on us all. So here we stand with the apostles. All of us perhaps wondering a little bit. Mothers looking at some of their children. What will come of all this? Where do we go from here? The first point of comfort I want to offer you is this. We know that Christ was crucified for our sins. We know that He is risen again. And however many the questions may be that we have, we can always go back to that, to square one, to the starting point, and start from there to get what answers there are to be had in this life. The second point of comfort is, you just don't have to know. You don't. There is a phrase that I have heard often enough that it bears dispelling frequently. It goes something like this, and the deeper the southern drawl you can say it with, the more pious that makes it sound. The Lord has a wonderful plan for your life. And it's up to you to determine what it is. That's the works righteous hook, you know. Better get to figuring out what the plan is and what your part in it is and start working the program, because if you don't get it done, it's all going to go to pot. I've got good news for you, every one of you. The Lord does have a wonderful plan for your life. And if you never have a clue what that plan is, even if everything your eye sees looks like suffering and death, the Lord will accomplish His wonderful purpose for your life anyway, and graciously take you from this veil of tears unto Himself at the last. Your failure to figure things out will not hamstring the Lord in the slightest. By the grace of God, just be faithful. Be faithful unto death. Do this, and you need not worry over much about all that figuring. The second point of comfort I offer you, all of you, is that you have been given the Holy Spirit. All of you, as far as I know, have received Him in your baptism. You have all been sprinkled with the clean water, as our Old Testament reading prophesied so long ago. Wherever you are in life, whatever the struggles that confront you and the questions that confound you, you have a helper, God the Holy Spirit, who works in you to call you, gather you, enlighten you, sanctify you, and keep you with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. You aren't left to do this on your own. The Scriptures give us some very encouraging words concerning the Holy Spirit. This is power from on high. One of my favorites. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Believe that. So many people, Christians, fear what the devil does. You have a power greater than that of the devil within you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Another one. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. How many times do the Scriptures contain some variant or another of the phrase, "Be not afraid"? You have not been given a spirit of fear. So I say it again, none of you are on your own. The Holy Spirit keeps you in the one true faith, and He further enables you to will and to do all the rest of it. Thus, as our epistle says, so I encourage you, if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Use what God has given you. And then don't get prideful, but give God the glory through Jesus Christ for all that He accomplishes by way of you. Finally, how shall we receive the Holy Helper? of whom our Lord speaks in this morning's gospel. The scriptures again encourage us, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think it was just last week in Bible class I was talking about this passage. The words could actually be translated, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. How may we continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit? This is the Sunday of Exaudi. That's Latin. It means hear ye. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Dearly beloved in the Lord, attend to this. Devote yourself to the saving word. We read in the Large Catechism this morning in Bible class where it speaks of this being a daily thing, not a weekly thing, not a once every 2 or 3 weeks sort of thing, daily. The action, the excitement, whatever the Lord has for us, that may be out there a little ways yet. If so, devote yourself to the word of the Lord, that you may ever be ready for the wielding of the sword of the Spirit when the day comes that it is, spiritually speaking, time to draw swords. Dear ones in Christ, the apostles have come. They have faithfully executed their ministries as witnesses of our Lord's resurrection. And they have gone on to their eternal rewards. The eyewitnesses are gone, but it is given us in our day to carry forth with the words that they have given us, that by the Spirit which comes with those words, we may believe the Word of God in its truth and purity, and with the help of God, and with the Helper of God, lead holy lives according to God's holy word. The 11 could not have imagined what all the Lord was going to do with them. Dearly beloved lambs of the Good Shepherd, all of you, I can't imagine. You can't imagine. And if we tried to imagine, our imaginations would probably prove horribly wrong. But we can't imagine what use God is going to have of each of you, of our congregation, of the fellowship to which we belong. Who knows but what he is having great use of it right now, each of you, and we do not perceive it. But of this I am confident, as we treasure the pure doctrine of God's holy word, and as we continue to receive the saving gifts administered purely according to Christ's institution, this is going to be great and more than we could have imagined. We may not see it. This great use the Lord is having of us may be something that in this life we trust by faith rather than perceiving with our own eyes. There are those who malign us, and some probably think that as they do, they are offering God a service. I don't know about you, but to me it looks like that's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Let it not concern you. Learn from the apostles. Learn from our brothers in other parts of the world. learn from many, many others down through history. Learn most of all from Christ what great and saving use the Lord can have of our sufferings in our lives and in the lives of others. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. As we move forward, the Lord will doubtless teach us some things along the way and remind us of other things to which we have paid inadequate attention. When that happens, that's a gift. So don't resist. Rather, rejoice that our Lord honors us to be more in His service than we were before. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Thus saith the Lord, hear ye. Bear the cross. Attend to the speaking of the word, dear Christians, and support the faithful preaching of that word in this and in other places. Go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, confessing the forgiveness of sins and the everlasting life that we have in the name of the crucified, the risen, and the ascended one. The name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.